We rolling?
Are we rolling?
Is this thing on?
Is it on? Are we here? Yeah.
I think we're good
live.
To go. Good morning.
Good morning, Nashville. This is Uprising, and we are joining you. This will be the Sunday after Thanksgiving, but we are recording it a bit earlier. So we are thinking into the future, but hopefully everyone has had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I am Reverend Christy Shea Moore, pastor at Bellevue Presbyterian Church, which sponsors our Uprising. And I am joined by my co-host, David Ross.
I like the little pause before that.
David Ross, my worship and band leader.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We're actually recording shortly after worship. And we've had a wonderful worship this morning. And I hope that y'all have taken a great opportunity this week to give thanks for so many blessings. I hope, David, that you have survived this week, because David's going to be watching my two very large dogs.
That's right.
For me, so I can go out of town. Thank you, David.
You need to get that?
No. Oh. Whoops. Put that on silent.
You're so popular. Who's calling you?
So this is about my former foster dog, Winston, who went to a new foster home up north through Big Fluffy Dog Rescue. And Winston is a challenge to train, to house train. And his new owner or foster parent, Nikki, is telling me that he's peeing everywhere.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
He's a big dog, too.
He is the biggest puppy I have ever encountered. 44 pounds at 15 weeks old. It's a Pyrenees, Great Pyrenees lab mix. We think. I was calling him Tank, because he's going to be a big, big boy. But at least he's still a puppy while he's peeing everywhere.
Yeah, I'll give him a pass.
I hope they can break that habit soon.
Yeah, let's hope.
Soon. Thank you, Nikki, for giving him a home that's not mine. But I thought I would bring up, there's been some difficult news as of late, too. And
it usually is.
It usually is. And since David rarely knows what's happening, I wondered. Yeah.
That's good. What did I miss?
Yeah, there's that little segment called Tell Dave the News.
Got to fill him in.
Although, I would imagine even you have heard of the Me Too movement. Have you heard about that?
Of course, I've heard of that.
Yes. So
there's so many that pop up, it's impossible to keep up with it.
Right, right.
It's a hashtag, right?
It is. Hashtag me too. Yeah, I mean, I can hashtag out my me too as well. I've had some experiences that...
Should we cue the soundbite quick and then you can...
Yeah.
Because I'm proud of the soundbite.
Yeah.
All right. And now it's time.
I don't watch TV news generally.
To tell Dave the news.
I don't watch the news.
Because let's face it, he doesn't know what's going on. I just want to point out that Christy was pretty convinced that the was Scooby-Doo.
And I
insist that it is indeed Tim the Toolman Taylor from Home Improvement.
And I think that Tim Allen has completely stolen that from Scooby-Doo.
It's possible.
I think. Yes. So, fans, weigh in on this at some point. This has become a big thing between me and David as to who owns that.
Huge debate.
It was Scooby.
Who copyrighted it?
Yeah. So,
anyway.
On to weightier matters. So, we seem to be in our country in the middle, David, of a national conversation that has to do with sexual harassment and sexual assault and just some pretty serious things. And unfortunately, we have seen a lot of politicians and celebrities. And sometimes, you know, every day you wonder, you know, what awful story am I going to hear now? And I think
Right.
we both have seen some figures that we really have liked and appreciated over the years who purportedly, you know, have done some pretty bad things. And I know it's been Kevin Spacey, an actor I followed a lot, also Dustin Hoffman, and then recently Sylvester Stallone has also been in the news. So that kind of brings us to how do you be resilient also when something may happen that you make a mistake, that you fail, that, you know, a lot of these folks are owning up to the fact that they've caused significant hurt in other people's lives. And the Sylvester Stallone one has been hard for me because I am a huge Rocky fan. Just absolutely turn to those movies again and again. I think they are just quintessential kind of American stories about rags to riches and somebody who really came from nothing and had a gift and, you know, a way to make something of himself. And even the story itself of Sylvester Stallone making Rocky was one where, I mean, he was barely making a living. He ended up having to sell his dog, I think, to be able to.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he had this story of he had to sell his dog to make ends meet. And then when Rocky, you know, was finally the script was purchased and was being made, and, you know, he managed to get his dog back later. It's a pretty cool story. But, you know, and Rocky, you know, that movie just, it won Best Picture, and, you know, it's just a real work of art. And so I think that resilience is something that, how do you not lose hope? And even everybody does things that they're ashamed of. And obviously,
right,
some things are worse than others.
And that's the common thread in all these stories. It's like, mm-hmm, it's stuff that happened so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it just happened. Like the way it gets reported, it
right,
seems like these people just committed these things. And you got to remember how long ago it was.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make anybody less angry about it, you know?
Right. I think part of resilience, too, is maybe saying, okay, now these things did happen and we're having this conversation now, so how do we do better, and how do we as collectively, as a people, as a nation, pick ourselves up and say we can be better than this?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we don't have time, and on this show, of course, to solve all these problems, but I think as even my hope is for, you know, Sylvester Stallone and some of the others in this mix, that we don't lose sight of the fact that even the work of Rocky himself, you know, makes some mistakes, and family makes mistakes, and things happen to him where he loses everything. And he has to find a way to dig deep again to how does he rise above that. And I remember in Rocky V, which was not one of the more popular Rockies, but I did appreciate it, but it was a story about when he did lose everything. And there was a song that Elton John wrote called The Measure of a Man that was used in the credits of that film. And I want to share it because I think it's something that reminds us that we can do better, and we can rise above some things and to look at what's most essential about our human experience.
Love some Elton John. One of my biggest influences as a piano player.
Piano man, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
These battered hands are all you own. This broken heart has turned to stone. Go hang your glory on the wall. There comes a time when castles fall. And all that's left is shifting in the sand. You're out of time, you're out of place. Look at your face, that's the measure of a man. This coat that fits you like a glove. Dirty streets you learn to love. So welcome back, my long lost friend. You've been to hell and back again. And God alone knows how you cross that span. Back on the beat, back to the start, trust in your heart, that's the measure of a man. It's the fire in the eyes, the lines on the hand, and the things you understand. Purple the ties from which you once ran, that's the measure of a man. Now you're home, without the gold, without the crown. This is where you've always been. You had to lose so you could win. Rise above your troubles while you can. Now you can love, now you can lose, now you can choose. That's the measure of a man.
That was The Measure of a Man by Sir Elton John. It's from the Rocky Five soundtrack.
Yeah, that's a song that may not be as well known from Elton John. I remember I think I kept stealing that cassette tape from my brother, and because I love that song. But the lyrics are pretty profound. You know, these battered hands are all you own. This broken heart has turned to stone. So go hang your glory on the wall. There comes a time when castles fall, and all that's left is shifting in the sand. So that's just like when we are brought low, you know, how do we get back up from that? And I also am so mindful of stories of people that come to mind, and the one that always jumps out to me from scripture is from the first book in the Bible, Genesis, the story of Joseph, who was a favorite of his father and a very gifted individual who was able to interpret dreams. And it's that gift that causes a rift to grow between him and his brothers, and also the fact that his father sort of shows favoritism toward him. But when he interprets his brother's dreams in a way that they feel like he is lording it over them, you know, I think most people who are familiar with the Bible know that they did a horrible thing to their young brother Joseph and threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. And he ends up in Egypt and goes through a lot of ordeals there. And I would imagine so many people would have given up, but it is that gift of dream interpretation that brings him to the attention of the Pharaoh, who is having very disturbing dreams that ultimately are about famine. And when Joseph interprets them and is able to say, hey, you know, you need to prepare for this famine that's coming, and this is what God is speaking to you in these dreams, that this is a way to help your people. He thinks so highly of Joseph that he, you know, lifts him up and gives him a position of power. And it's that power that later in the story allows Joseph to be there in a position to help his brothers when his brothers come to Egypt because they are suffering from famine in Israel. And that's what brings the Israelites ultimately into Egypt. But there's a portion in Genesis 45 where Joseph is revealed to his brothers. They didn't even recognize him. I mean, they think he's long dead, you know, or at least long gone out of their lives. And so here is this, you know, mighty man.
He must have had like a huge beard or something.
Well, I imagine.
You don't recognize him.
You know, and I think the Egyptians, you know, had different customs for, you know, what they wore and how they appeared. And that just would have been so many years. And they couldn't imagine that their brother, you know, would be in this kind of a place. So Joseph reveals to them that he is alive. And I love how he says to them in Genesis 45, starting in verse 4, he says, "Come near to me." He says, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." And so Joseph is able to look at the hardship in his life and say, there was a greater purpose for this, that God used this to bring life. They willed it to be something that was horrible, his brothers, but the God who can work all things for good was able to take something that horrific and say, but I will redeem this. And so Joseph is able to save not just his immediate family, but, you know, all the people that come to Egypt, all the Hebrews, that he's able to save them, you know, and feed them. And I think that is one of the keys to resilience and being able to get back up again. And it's also something from God to know that God gives us hope and that he can redeem hardships in life, and that in life and in death we belong to him, even if we don't ultimately defeat certain things in life, that we know we can trust God because there's life in his kingdom beyond. But if we don't let go of bitterness and of hatred, if Joseph had continued to wrestle with those things, I don't think he ever would have risen to the stature that he did in Egypt. And he would not have been able to enjoy the reconciliation that he had with his family. He was able to be reconciled again with his father, who had long believed him dead, you know, and be able to have a relationship with his brothers again and forgive them. There's another song that I think this is a band that I can't remember how I discovered, and it's the only song I know of theirs. But, and David, I think you didn't really know them either, but Safety Suit.
Yeah, I've not heard of this band.
And apparently they live in Nashville. So
you thought they were British?
I thought they were British.
They're from Oklahoma.
No, I guess I got them confused. Yes, Tulsa is not in the UK. So this song of theirs is called Looking Up. And I know when I encounter my own rain clouds and dark days, and I need to hold fast to the psalm that darkness may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This song is a helpful one, I think. It's called Looking Up.
Call it a feeling, call it a premonition, things are about to go my way. Just believe it's coming. Something's bound to change. Yeah. Then I see $20 in the street. High five the next person I see. Kick back to the guy with the sign. I'll be fine. I say things are looking up. I say they're looking up. Take all my trouble cause I had enough. I say they're looking up and I'm feeling so fine. I say they're looking up. We'll be right back.
That was Looking Up by Safety Suit. Great song about being resilient, I mean, positive attitude. And so I think that song also takes us to maybe a more modern day take on resilience and the story of a very well-known world figure, Nelson Mandela. I mean, I'm amazed that Mandela spent decades of his life, you know, in a tiny jail cell.
I knew he was in prison. I didn't realize it was like 27 or 28 years.
Oh, yeah, like 3 decades of your life, you know, it was something crazy, like, I don't know, it was like, I think one part of the dimension was no more than 8 feet. It was like maybe, you know, 5 by 8 feet, or it was just crazy small room. And
he was able to like write one letter every six months?
And I think one visit every 6 months.
How do you not lose your mind?
How do you not I mean, that he could maintain, you know, his sanity, his belief in himself and in humanity, and that he could see a greater purpose for himself, you know, because he was able, when he got out of that prison, he knew that if he didn't let go of bitterness, that he would continue to be imprisoned. And I think that, again, is one of the keys to resiliency, is knowing that there are things that you've got to be able to leave behind, you know, to let go.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things, or the really impressive things about Mandela. It was after all those years in prison, then, like, after that is when he became president, right?
Of
South Africa?
Yep.
And, man, just talk about rising up from from your struggles and doing great things, like really great things. Yep. I've got a song that ties into that. It's called a band called Churches, one of my favorites. And this song is called Bury It, and it features Hayley Williams from Paramore.
I thought she sounded familiar.
Yeah, you know that voice? You like Paramore?
I like Paramore. Yep. Did not know Churches, but know Paramore.
Yeah. Yeah, they've gotten well known in the last maybe 2 years or so. Very like 80s influenced synth pop.
Oh, definitely got an 80s vibe from them.
And their singer's cute, Laura Mayberry. I have a slight crush on her. Just saying. So here is Bury It by Churches. That was Bury It by Churches. And unfortunately, it is that time. It's time to go. But we thank you for tuning in and listening to Uprising. Hope you had an excellent Thanksgiving. And now we go full speed into Christmas season.
Yeah. Hopefully have some really good shows ahead of us for the holidays, particularly the season of Advent that comes before Christmas as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. And I really like Advent, so I think we'll have some great shows for you. But do hope that this has been a blessed Thanksgiving for you all, and we hope that you'll drop us a line. And how can they reach us, David?
You can send us an email at NashvilleUprising@gmail.com and visit us on Facebook. Search Bellevue Presbyterian, and you'll also find a link to our podcast on Podomatic as well as iTunes.
Excellent. Please subscribe to us, and that way you'll never miss a show.
Yes. So go forth, be resilient, persevere, Nashville.
Persevere. We love you. Peace out.
Peace out.